Hey guys, it's Aria and welcome to another episode of Fembolden. Today, we are super excited to chat with Purva Bomaretti from New Jersey.
Thank you so much for reaching out to us, Purva. We are so interested in your involvements in and outside of school. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your extracurriculars?
Absolutely. So my name is Purva. I'm a senior in high school in New Jersey. And I'm passionate about innovation and engineering as tools to combat the climate crisis. I'm also the founder and team leader of Bye Bye Plastic Bags New Jersey, and I'm part of the New Jersey Girl Up Coalition, and I'm the advocacy director. And in my free time, I enjoy writing, singing, and spending time with my family.
Purva, that is truly so amazing and inspiring. You mentioned that a lot of your work is centered around environmental change and engineering. What role do you think these two play in intersectional feminism?
Absolutely. That's a really, really good point because there's so many different ways that climate affects gender. And I think by bringing together these two issues, we begin to see an intersectional pathway to inspiring change. So I'm involved in both gender equality and climate and plastic pollution related activism groups here in New Jersey, as I mentioned. And the reason why I believe that it's so important to kind of combine these issues is by uniting these two powerful movements, we're able to kind of come under one umbrella to embrace change. And then if you look at the statistics and the information behind this movement, you'll see that things like droughts and extreme events in developing countries tend to affect women and girls disproportionately in terms of having to suffer the health consequences of nutritional deficiencies and things like that. And then just in general, without making very significant strides in gender equality and providing aid to women and girls in vulnerable communities around the world, we simply cannot solve the climate crisis, as fires and monsoons, hurricanes, and any other extreme weather events become more regular occurrences. We really can't ignore the intersectionality of climate change and no longer can say that it's about individual actions. It's time to solve this complex issue by understanding its connection to every aspect of our lives, really.
I totally agree. I think that was very well said. How do you think your gender identity and expression has affected you as you continue in your endeavors?
Absolutely. So in terms of the climate movement, I've definitely seen a lot of young girls and young women stepping up in my community to fight this issue and to advocate for change in terms of organizing grassroots movements, giving presentations, organizing workshops for young people. What we don't see yet is women like more on the front lines of, you know, giving like famous talks and kind of as like the face of this movement. Still, we continue to see women being kind of put on the back lines of this movement. And what I say is it's time that that's over. We need to really show that this isn't no longer about just kind of being on the back line and the not really prioritizing our place in this issue and really stepping up. And in my community, I've definitely faced a lot of challenges in terms of like first starting. But I realized that, you know, it's kind of learning from the people who have done this and taken the first steps in the past is the biggest motivation to take action and create change. So in terms of my identity as a woman and as a young girl, kind of involved in activism for both climate and gender equality, I'm really seeking to bring gender and bring these conversations to this discussion of the climate crisis. As a young woman, again, I feel a sense of responsibility to kind of bring these issues into the conversation because for too long, the kind of the work around climate has mainly just been about, I guess, the main things that we might think about in terms of climate, whether it be greenhouse gas emissions. But it's really time that we looked at who's being affected most by this issue in terms of girls and women being on the front lines of this movement and being most affected. So ultimately, I believe that using my privilege as someone living in a developed country and access to an education to empower young girls and women across the world to create change.
Of course, Purva. I was wondering what you think is the difference between equality and equity, and how this affects intersectional feminism.
Absolutely. So I think equality is more of the baseline. It's kind of about just taking that first initial step to ensure that women and girls around the world have a basic human right and basic access to education and better style of living and basic human rights, inalienable rights ultimately. But I think equity is really goes much beyond that and asks the harder hitting questions of what aspects, what nuances of society can we change and can we come together to look at and approach and realize the kind of biases and the kind of issues that we have already in place in terms of workplace issues, the gender gap in pay, and things like that. How can we come together to solve those issues and truly pave the way for a more equitable world?
I totally agree with you. I know we talked about gender identity, but I was wondering, how do you think your racial identity has driven you to become so passionate about this?
Absolutely. So, as an Indian American, I definitely really believe that my place in this movement is a little bit different than some of my peers that might be working. And that's kind of because of the fact that a lot of people in this movement are predominantly white. And it's been that way kind of for quite a bit of time because I guess like I didn't really see representation and things like that in climate activism and things like that. And so I kind of see my place in this as an inspiration, hopefully, to other young women and other Indian girls who might be unsure about how they can take action. I know like it's also difficult in the sense that people might face a little bit of backlash for the work that they're doing, especially if it doesn't have an initial outcome. As the founder of Bye Bye Plastic Bags, it really took a while to build up momentum and take action here in New Jersey. But once we did, it was a really, really fulfilling and empowering experience. And by sharing that with other young people, by saying, hey, we did pass this ban on single-use plastics, we mobilized young people to take action, I'm kind of setting like this example for hopefully other girls to do the same thing. And so I think my identity, my experiences, my culture, my religion have kind of just shaped me into like, I guess, another more unique person that's in this movement. I'm not just, one like focused on one issue. I'm kind of trying to approach this with a way that we can include new voices, include people from different backgrounds and different cultures in this movement. So that's why I think as an as a child of immigrants, as someone who's first generation, it's definitely made me more passionate about and more aware also about including different people and diversifying the movement and diversifying the way that we talk about this movement.
Wow, Porva, that's such an interesting perspective. So, how do you think it is that you're able to start engendering so much societal change at such a young age?
Absolutely. So, as I said before, it's really in like the way that I'm able to connect with and show empathy to people, whether it's by talking to people at workshops and things like that, whether it be raising awareness about plastic pollution or talking about issues related to girls. When I visited India and when I visited homeless shelters and things like that in this country, it makes clear the gaps between people of low income, people who are living in fence line communities, people who are affected worst again by the climate crisis, women, and kind of how these issues kind of come together to affect society, that it makes me want to again push forward change and uplift these people so that we are able to create a more equal and equitable society. So one example of that is through period poverty, right? So I'm really passionate about this issue, and I've spoken a lot about it in Girl Up because if you think about it, at least 42 million women just within the US live below the poverty line. and many of them don't have access to basic dignity and sanitation during their periods. Government assistance programs really don't provide menstrual hygiene products, and millions of these women attempt to scour for dangerous alternatives like reusing products or using rags, right? So additionally, because of the social stigma that's around periods, many are afraid to reach out for help. These conversations really aren't happening. And so for me, I'm like, why is the stigma still around? It's time that we destigmatize periods and destigmatize these issues and ensure that women are given basic human dignity and essential resources. And so this is just one example of that. I think by changing the conversation and becoming more comfortable with speaking about these kinds of issues, we're able to share experiences and learn from one another in a stronger and more powerful way. So I think by seeing a little bit of that gap between people who are living in a developing or a developed country, people who are living in poverty and living kind of these really access to technology and things like that, I've kind of become more aware of these issues, and that's driven me to take stronger and more powerful action in my community.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I think it is very important that we start destigmatizing issues, especially when pertaining to women, because a lot of times, like you said, like periods and stuff like that, just people don't talk about it, and it's important. But you said changing the conversation, and I really liked that because it made me think, how do you think others should go about having these conversations? How could they use their voices to, you know, contribute to these issues and helping out?
Absolutely. So I think the first step to doing that is by educating yourself. Just the issue of period poverty wasn't something that I found out about until I started doing research and things like that for Girl Up. So I think the first step is to make sure that you understand a little bit of the connections between these issues. There's so many ways where you can go at this. If you're interested in art or if you're interested in writing, look at the inequity that's seen in these careers or in these movements and how we can pave the way for a better world. So using your interests and what you already care about to look at the deeper and the bigger picture of how different issues and how gender equality or climate or race, all these issues play a role in what you care about. I think that's the first step of taking action and kind of using that education and that information as a resource and a guiding tool in your advocacy. So for example, for period poverty, well, that would kind of motivate me to maybe go out and speak to those homeless women and kind of get a firsthand account of their experiences and kind of pledge myself to do everything within my own power to help them out, whether it be by fundraising within my own school for women's shelters and things like that. I think by taking that first step of educating ourselves, we're already going really far. And then by taking a next step of looking further within our own communities of people who might have an experience to share and listening to their stories is a really, really important step that we can take to expand our understanding of different issues, but to also take action. By speaking to people and sharing my own experience, that was kind of the first steps that I was able to take action, and that actually motivated and inspired me to get involved in my community and confidently call myself a change maker.
Of course, Pover, I definitely, definitely agree with your points, especially, you know, that educating ourselves should be first and foremost as we fight for gender equality and equity for all people. And so I think that the points that you made are really interesting because they remind me of, you know, the importance of empathy, right? Because when you are empathetic to others, when you are more understanding of their positions, you are more or better enabled, rather, to actively, you know, contribute to change on their parts, right? And as privileged individuals, as people living in developed countries, as people with access to education and you know, the resources to be able to even record this episode of this podcast, we are granted, like I said, with these innumerable privileges that allow us to fight for other people with empathy and understanding and education at the forefront of our fighting. So how do you think that other teenagers can learn to be more empathetic and learn to be more understanding of other people? And, you know, how do you think that their involvement and empathy and understanding can contribute to better societal change?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think, kind of as I said before, the first step to that, to getting that empathy, is kind of putting ourselves kind of on the same level as another person and really consider how their issues might have affected their lives, kind of on a more personal level. Definitely making these issues such as climate and gender equality more personal, and understand that there's already been people who've been affected by the climate crisis. For people like us who are privileged, it seems like a more distant reality, more of an illusion. We do see, you know, forest fires in California and Australia, but even some of those issues might be distant or far from us. But if we speak to someone who's a survivor or a refugee or someone who is affected by these issues, we have access to technology. So maybe watching a video or hearing or seeing an opportunity to highlight their story is a really, really, really big way to engender and to inspire that empathy. And then taking that to the next step is seeing in your community, how can I take a next step? How can I take action? Is there a certain group already out there doing the work? Can I join them? How much of my time will I have to invest to make that step? And I think that by taking that first step of just deciding within ourselves to make a commitment to be more empathetic and commit ourselves to taking at least a minimal or some level of action leads us on a path to inspiring change and leads us on a path to creating a much larger impact. And that's really where I started in the first place. In terms of starting Bye-Bye Plastic Bags, I was at first kind of very nervous and not too confident enough to be like, I can be a leader and I can lead a group of 45 students in fighting for the New Jersey plastic spill. But we went from being like having an event at our local library just with me and friends and family to now having over 50 members fighting plastic pollution in New Jersey. We've impacted hundreds of people through our presentations, workshops, and webinars. And our biggest campaign to date was to mobilize youth to speak up on the New Jersey plastic spill. So we collected hundreds of signatures for a petition. Members wrote letters to the editor for their local newspapers, and we urged others to call and email representatives to show support for the bill. So in September, the bill was passed by the Senate with bipartisan support, and just on November 4th, Governor Murphy signed the bill, writing into law the strongest ban on single-use plastics in the U.S. So I think young people, and I guess like people especially within our generation, it's very difficult, I guess, when we're first getting started to see the impact and see that our actions can make a difference. But it's really, really important to remember that when we do have empathy and when we decide to take action on an issue out of, I don't want to say purely empathy and compassion, but definitely that playing a role in our decision to take action, whether it be by seeing or hearing from someone who has experienced the been affected by plastic pollution, that was definitely a role in my activism. I saw that wildlife and different communities were being ravaged by plastic pollution, developing communities resort to incinerating plastics. So I think definitely know that at the end of the day, your actions will have an impact. So choosing to take that action out of kindness and out of empathy will have a long-term impact and can create change, even if you are young or even if you are a minority or even if you are a girl or woman. It's really possible for all of us to create change. It might be hard sometimes, but I think it's really important that we never give up and continue to advocate and fight for change.
Thank you so much, Purva, for being a part of today's episode. All of your points were so inspirational and so insightful, and you truly are an admirable leader for our age group. I hope that this episode encourages people across the United States and across the globe to be more involved in social justice and advocacy, and definitely check out Purva. Her Instagram is linked in our website, www.fembolden.org. Thank you guys so much for listening, and remember, Mondays are for Fembolden. We see you, we hear you, we are you. You are not alone.
Fembolden is a teen-led podcast where we discuss a variety of topics surrounding femininity, social activism, and adolescence.
We want to encourage other young women to use their voices to call out issues within their community and on a global spectrum. We appreciate all of our support and believe that feminism should be open to all genders.